It is, it's under position vacancy.
So I'll call the meeting to order. Compliance with the open meeting law?
Yes. We are in compliance.
Do we have to vote on that one?
No.
Okay. Approval of the agenda.
I amended the agenda because Joyce thought I needed to put a position reclass on there, and I was hesitant to do so, but she convinced me to do it, and so I did.
Okay.
And now I'm going to take it back off, so.
Oh.
So we are not going to do that.
Number 8?
Yes.
Take number 8 off.
Position reclass, yeah. Yeah, that's coming off.
Okay. Anybody want to make a motion to accept this with the change?
I will.
Pat second is over there.
Okay. Who's second? Oh, Pat.
Pat second. Okay. Approval of the minutes for November 16th. I guess the only thing I'm going to say is it says by co-chair. I'm not a co-chair.
Oh, I don't know why it said that. She probably pulled that up. I will take off the co.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Who made the motion?
Dan.
Yeah. Dan made the motion, and Shirley will second it. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Passed.
I don't know how she got co-chair in there. We don't, yeah, that's weird. I didn't catch it, so.
Okay. Public comments. Is this the time we can ask about
building?
The building? Mm-hmm. Is this the time to ask about
you
the,
can?
Dan looks over there and goes, ah.
Bob's not here, so. we are continuing to meet on the building. We are continuing in the planning stages. We're pretty much done with that. I think we have maybe one more meeting to go through, and then I believe, now I'm probably going to have this wrong, Dan, so help me out. It's going to go to the admin committee first?
I would assume.
Okay. I think that's right. It's going to go to the admin committee to then decide whether we are continuing to move into the next phase. This phase was the schematics and the planning and whatever, and the next phase will be, I guess, are we going to build it or are we going to do something different? So that will go to the admin committee and then I believe the full board in February as well, depending on what the admin's recommendation is to the full board.
So are you hearing some agreement or still? Dan doesn't want to commit.
Yeah, I don't think there is a, I don't think the full board is, I don't think it's a unanimous approval rating. I guess my sense is now that I think they're maybe going to move forward with it. I don't know, but I'll tell you every time I've come out of a building meeting, I've usually been wrong about what my sense is.
Well, my sense is, I agree with Lori.
Okay.
It appears as though
it's moving
forward.
Now, that is also qualified that they can put it on this site because they are going to do some, they're doing some borings right now of the soil and things like that because there is another building out here somewhere that's
just buried.
Yeah.
They just buried it.
So, I mean, it all depends on, I think, some of that stuff, too.
Well, you know, I mean, in all fairness, Dan, I think it's wonderful that someone at least is raising questions.
Well, who's the admin committee?
The admin committee, I can't, I'd have to look for you. I can't tell you who's all on it.
No, we're not.
I think
like
Bob, Mike Lawrence, I think, is on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can tell you afterwards, but.
Yeah, I don't have my book with me.
Yeah, and I don't know if I have it penciled in here for the admin.
There's right now, my best guess, there aren't enough, the votes would have it here.
Yeah.
All things being equal,
yeah.
I think there's probably 9 or 10 votes that would have it here.
That would put it over.
7 of us.
So pretty split.
Yeah, it's pretty split.
May I ask? Your reservations?
My biggest concern is the obligation we have to the taxpayer. And if we can do something on Alana Lane $3.5 to $4 million less. My constituents would certainly want that to be a consideration, the tax dollars that are going to be involved, put it out here versus having it there. And I guess, again, then my concern is that's my primary concern. Secondary concern is if I'm looking out for the people that are going to be in ADRC social services, do I want them traveling in a 25-mile-an-hour zone looking for McDonald's and turn there, or do I want them out here? And they, you know, and there's some talk of they're going to redo some of the highway. There's talk of that, but also I'm understanding that the state highway department is saying no, we're not. And again, is that going to incur more expenses to get people off of 61 going 55 with semis? There seem to be, and I'm not from here, seem to be a fair number of accidents and occurrences at this intersection.
In the last 3 months, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And, I've never seen so many as I have this past year.
I would certainly think that should have some weight, and that should be of a concern. I'm not voting for it and having to deal with, somebody got killed out here. You know, that to me is also a huge concern.
Also, to have sewer brought in from
sewer
city,
brought in,
that's
a
lot
huge.
Of money.
Yeah. And again, I know it's and again, this is for the taxpayers' benefit. We're not using the facilities we currently occupy. We're not using what we already have built. I understand, obviously, again, in my, what I would like to see is us move ADRC and social services, get that, kind of piecemeal it and get that done, get that out of the way, and then deal with the jail. The jail isn't as big of an issue to move as ADRC and social services are, in my opinion. And I'd like to get that part done, get this building unoccupied, and then deal with the jail as a
separate entity.
Separate issue, yeah.
I think the sewer has to be run in eventually because of the some state mandates of what we have.
It does, yeah. The sewer has to come out,
that
so that's
no
my goal.
Yeah.
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 Right.
And that's done at county expense.
Yeah.
Hopefully the city will get involved.
But they have septic systems here now, is that what?
Well,
they do. They have a septic treatment.
Treatment
right
plant.
There's something about
the
phosphorus.
It's the phosphorus, yeah.
And
yeah,
then
so
there's
some, on top of it, yeah.
There's some talk about the state not being real happy with county-owned nursing homes. Then they might privatize. Well, if they privatize, that's going to be somebody else's.
Yeah.
Problem.
We have that at Bosque, but we don't own the nursing home. Grant Fair owns it.
Yeah. So that probably, I'd like to see that get settled out before I'm, I'm a long way from convinced that we need to do this big project out here. And I'm not getting any answers to convince me. I'm not getting anybody to help me. Change my mind, I guess. And again, my latest thing is I've investigated into this a little bit more. The county owns properties. I went to the tax lister to find out if we couldn't offset some of the costs associated with us. If we own a county owns a lot of the parcels of land, if we could sell those, would that offset the expenses that we're going to be seeing? It would offset it in three ways. One is we might find a parcel that is appraised at a high value that, let's say, it's farm ground that somebody can actually grow crops on or use. The second point of that is if it's a county parcel, it's not on anybody's tax roll, so we could certainly get it on somebody's tax roll, and that would help with the whole process. And then the third thing is, as I've come to find out, the county maintains a lot of these parcels, and it's ridiculous. There's a fourth of an acre, perhaps, a triangle in the village of Dickeyville, across from the old firehouse, where two streets angle off of, and why it's there, God only knows. Had to be something to do with when a street was moved
probably,
or something.
Sure, probably.
And on a weekly basis, we have highway department go down and mow that lawn. And it's like the guy that lives there, that's next door, we haven't approached him and say, hey, $5, how about you cut the grass?
Sure,
or whatever, or for a dollar, and we'll sell you that water. Right, so, and so the third piece of it is we would not have these expenses associated with maintaining properties. So anyway, I met with Chris Crowley, I believe his name is something to that effect, that's our tax lister. And he sends me 96 pages of parcels owned by him. And it ended up being, at that, it was 358 parcels. But since then, that wasn't the full listing. I guess it's close to 500.
Have they ever come up with a figure, Dan, on the amount of money that they thought would be spent on a $100,000 home, what it would increase in people's taxes?
Yeah, there is a number.
As far as the jail?
$100,000. Yeah, what the whole... The
wasn't it 20, like...
Well, $29.5 million.
Wasn't it like $36?
$100,000.
I think it was like $33, $36,
yeah,
somewhere in there is what I...
For $100,000.
Yeah, I believe.
Because that's for the whole county that's paying that in, so it's just not a small area.
Yeah.
But for sure, Steve. And then, you need to kind of look at appraised valuations of the 51 municipalities.
Right, yeah.
And don't quote me on that, Steve, but I think it was somewhere in that area.
In the upper 30s.
You see, like the referendum at the school, what they wanted, $22 million. I mean, that would have been $600 a year more, but that's just for one little school district that has to pay out.
Yeah.
That's why it was turned down.
And that's, we just had a situation in our district where the Southwestern High School borrowed $5.5 million on some, didn't have to go to referendum on some clause that they didn't have to go referendum on.
Operations.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is.
Operations.
Yeah.
And so our taxes, just property taxes, just this year have gone up in my house. It's a 1977 ranch in Keeler, and that went up $340.
Yeah.
Ours went up in Basketball.
Yeah, about $283 mine went up.
Yeah.
So,
and that was just in maintenance, just in operating.
And so this obviously, $29.5 million is what the dollar amount is that was approved for expenditures.
Yeah. And the other thing you have to look at is, okay, we're Grant County. We're trying to get industry to come to Grant County, but after all is said and done, in the whole range of the state of Wisconsin, where do we rank as far as, are we one of the highest paying tax counties around? And if we are, why would anybody want to bring in industry here to pay that many taxes? And Boscobel at one time was the sixth highest.
Really?
And now we're clear down under half, you know, because of changes that we made, cuts we made, and things that you don't need, you know. And that's the big thing anymore nowadays.
I think on the flip side, the people that are in favor, and I'm not going to really speak for them other than what I've heard from at meetings, is that there's a fair amount, what you say, Dan, that they want it on... already on county-owned land. There's the Bainbridge building. At my guess was that was still, he basically still wanted to rent that back to the county for so many years, then with an option to purchase.
20 or 10?
I think it was maybe 10, and then with a payout at that point, I think it was 10 was what was... And that could have, I don't know, it seemed like that was in flux all the time.
Yeah.
So, but I think that was some of the issues with it as well, with that one. So in terms of what the cost would be, what he could build it for and what the cost would be to rent it back to us would be two different. And then the county would, then after 10 years, do they want to buy a building? On the flip side, and so that's, I mean, that's where it's at. You can, you know... Basically, we've just been moving forward with trying to figure out the layout. I think there was some downsizing addressed to it as much as they could, or I don't know. I was pretty well downsized, I think, so I didn't have a lot to do there. But they did do some in the jail.
Well, my concern, I guess, is as you talk about adding more taxes onto people, some people are living on maybe just their Social Security, and you go sticking $300 and some odd onto an older home, which could even be older than that, I don't know. We're driving them out of their homes, are we not?
But then you got to look at that two ways, though. You can't stop progress either.
Right,
you
know? That's true.
When progress goes on, some people are going to get hurt.
I mean, as much
as... They are, but you still got to drive
Much on. As I don't love my taxes going up, in Basketball, we desperately need a different school.
Yes,
I mean,
do.
That
yeah,
we needed
yeah,
it probably 20 years ago.
But it was turned down.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, twice.
Yeah. But the referendum that we have now that increased the taxes, that was an operating...
They can do that every year if they want to. If they'd have started years ago doing a maintenance program like they should have, wouldn't be in this predicament. So you say, okay, is it too late? No, it's not too late. And I told them how to do it. I said, go out and pick one of your projects, whatever that project is. If it's $3 million, $2 million, $1 million, whatever it is, go borrow that money to do that project. Then skip a year. Then the next year, go with the next project. And only do these for 5 years. And by the time you get into that next project, this one is going off. It's done now. Okay, and just keep on going until they're all out. That's not going to raise your taxes so high, and they'll all be paid off. Now take care of what you got, and the people can stand that. They can stand that to get it fixed. Well, they say it's too late. Well, it's never too late. You know.
That's how FIFO did their referendum.
Yeah, yeah.
They paid off their, you know, when they hit the end of the 15-year remodeling. And referendum from in the 90s. Then it was time, and it didn't. It actually, our taxes went down just a little bit.
Yeah.
And we needed a whole new school long before that old that tin barn of a elementary school was built. We should have. That's when there was several.
And now they're talking about taking. We're on. We're off.
And that was 30 years ago.
Taking those two schools and shutting them down and just basically giving them away. They were talking about tearing that rock school down, and I said, "Over my dead body, you'll tear that down." Somebody could buy that as a retirement home. They could do.
Well,
a
just
lot
look
of
what happened in Cassville with the old gymnasium up there.
Yeah.
They sold that for little or nothing. I don't know what it's like, but
they just about give it away. You know, I wish it was downtown. We'd make that our city hall. Gorgeous building.
It is a nice building. I will say that. The other thing that happened with this building here, I would like to make mention of, is we did have. There's been a lot of concern at a couple of committee meetings, or it's been brought up, about our IT concerns. We have a lot of IT concerns out here with various issues. And in discussing that, we got talking about the electrical out here, and that's been debated about at a couple committee meetings. So finally, I don't know who actually called an electrician, but anyway, electrician was out here probably about 3 weeks ago, maybe. I don't remember. So they had an electrician come out here. Jeff was out here, the electrician, Mark from maintenance, Bob Keeney was out here. Jeff from IT says, "Lori, can you show me the office that the lights flicker when you print something?" I said, "Pick an office, Jeff. Every one of them do it, so just pick one." I said, "My lights just flicker all the time. I don't even notice it anymore, but they do." So they did have the electrician come out here. He looked around a little bit, saw what was happening, and then really wanted to come back on after hours after hours to really kind of dig into it, because he thought, I know nothing about electricity, so I can't talk intelligently about this at all, but he thought he might be able to solve a couple issues. Well, he didn't solve the printer issue. But the problem is the report that I read makes some mention of some possible magnetic fields being caused by this voltage in here. We've got voltage on, like, the ground, on the neutral lines or whatever. See, I can't speak intelligently. I should have printed out the report. We also have... So my concern was the lack of grounding. I didn't seem to think there was something in the report about grounding, which made me extremely nervous considering the fact that we have had major flooding in this building on more than one occasion, and staff in here dealing with it, and water coming through light sockets and different things. And then these magnetic fields that could cause a lot of, you know, that could potentially have some concern on people's health.
Here, standing on end.
Yeah. Thinking if you got a pacemaker, that might not be real good if you're under some magnet. So that was a concern, and I can print that out. I do have an email. on that. If anybody wants to read that, I will print it out. I should have printed it out before I came, but I'm so.
I don't know.
I never did find out where he was from.
As the last I had heard in our public property meeting, which includes IT, they were going to bring in Alliant Energy to find out what those concerns were. So
I did not. I've not heard anything since he was here. I have asked a couple questions, and nobody seems to know anything that's going on. So I had had a conversation with Bob and said, you know, I'm going to be very adamant about a couple of things. For the one thing, if we ever do have any more flooding in here, staff will not be in here. I won't allow it. I just will not. We had staff actually walking into water in here when we had flooding, and that was before my time. That's them telling me that. But if we don't have appropriate grounding where it's going to trip breakers, you know, trip the fuses and things like that, I'm not going to have staff.
What is the emergency plan? If, I mean, ADRC is going to continue on. If this building was blown over, what happens? If it gets blown over on a Sunday, what happens Monday?
Well, then probably the nice thing for us is we're regional, so we would have access to other regional offices where we could put staff to answer phones because we do have some main numbers, so potentially we could put that out to people.
Do we have an emergency plan in hard paper?
Technically, we do. I personally have not seen it. I know how we react in other counties, or I know how we react when the emergency has not been here. With Boscobel and Platteville, Steve called an emergency planning meeting right away on the flooding and the tornado, and we met right away, and then we set up staff at those two locations.
But I mean, you have to have a place that you know you have to go to a certain place.
Yeah. Right? If it was here, most likely if it was here, we'd probably still set up staff at a different location in town here, because most likely if our building was hit, there were probably other things hit within the county, you know, within this town.
But do you know what that other place is?
No. No, we don't have, I mean, to my knowledge, I don't know.
Something you need to know.
We
would have it there. But
well, I would hope that Steve Braun would have the documents. He's there.
But it don't do any good if the people here don't know where
The reality is I think it's, you have to assess where the damage is and where you can meet.
My point, what I'm getting at, the reality is let's say it burns down. So
yeah,
if there's a wing of Orchard Manor, and the reason we couldn't go using that is because that we can't go into a county-owned facility, which again,
ours isn't a county-owned facility. That would be a conflict. The state wouldn't allow us in there because it's a nursing home, and there would be a conflict of interest there.
So in an emergency situation, the state is going to tell you, no, you guys got to sit out in the parking lot with an umbrella over your head. You can't go into a facility that has room.
No, we would probably go. My guess is we would go over to the fairgrounds, or we would use admin buildings.
I'll tell you what, if there's an emergency,
or we would put staff in other
offices. That wouldn't bother me at all to go over there and say, hey, this is an emergency, and they should welcome you with open arms,
exactly.
Regardless of what the state says. This is an emergency,
yeah,
and that takes priority safety.
What's been done in the past with emergencies, with the flooding, I think Steve determined that City Hall was the best place
accessible
to people, so we met there.
And
Platteville with the tornado, we decided the high school was kind of removed from where the major damage was, and it was pretty secure, and so we met there.
Our command center is the fire station. That's the command center. When we had the flood, that's where I had to go right away, as the fire station. Then everything was put together from there, and it went
now
up,
with,
and it worked pretty smooth.
With Platteville, they thought they might need shelter. They thought some people might actually need, so they did set up a shelter. With the flood, we did not, although we did.
We put some people.
We put some people in the, we worked with a couple of motels too to put some people there.
My focus, or what I'm thinking is if we own 500 parcels of property in this county, I'd bet that one of them is a house. And again, there, and I don't know what all ADRC's restrictions from the state would be, but again, if we want to create a home environment, and if we have an existing home that we could renovate to fit that we already own, if that is out there, you know, let's knock the walls down next week, and by the 1st of March, let's have the building renovated, and by the 2nd of March, let's move ADRC into that place and get out of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God forsake.
You're preaching to the choir now.
And then again, there, if that can be, you know, and I'm pushing, I'm saying, you know, there's still a geography major type thing over at UW-Platteville for 4 credits at our lab science camp. Because right now, when I get this information from those 96 pages of the 358, it was all hieroglyphics. You know, it was, you know, all numbers and letters. And I said, well, that's nice, but I said, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, then the question becomes, why is the county buying so much land?
I don't know if they're buying it. It's being foreclosed.
Well, no, we have one. I guess up by the and Pat and I weren't. We don't throw anybody under the bus, but we weren't here when they were going to renovate. And I know Bob Scallon keeps bringing this up. They were going to renovate the existing jail site. And I don't know anybody from Lancaster. Shirley, you're from Lancaster. Mm-hmm. They bought a bunch of residential.
Well, there is.
Oh, they do own
some
of that.
Farms
and
some
jail. Yeah. And they were going to put up a 3-story structure that was going to be the jail. And and we're at that time, $3.5-4 million. And that never happened. There's schematics, there's drawings, etc. So there we own all of that property, which, again, if I'm from Lancaster, I'd be screaming about it. Right? But it's not on tax rolls.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's residentials, and it's quarter to a third acre lots, and there's a number of them. And again, just to, you know, again, I'll go back to my point has been, let's get out of this building, and let's get these people to a position, to, and again, I'll go back to the third floor of the administration building. Maybe it isn't going to be a forever solution for social services, but get out of here, put them there, find a house or a spot for ADRC if they won't, if we've got some stupid rule that won't allow them into the unused wing of Orchard Manor, then is there a house that we own? And we sure probably do. I think we own a lot of properties, a lot of parcels. At least for now, get and then this building is gone, and for a, and it needs to be still addressed, but for now we can focus then on if they wanted to say, okay, ADRC is in a decent place or a good place for now, social services is in a decent or a good place for now, and by golly, they've even got IT access. Computers work, lights don't blink, we're not worried about magnetic fields.
I don't notice the lights anymore.
I've seen them out here was that when you guys were still having trouble? And you go by and there would be a group of, to do with computer, I mean.
Oh, they were putting in a fiber optic line.
Oh,
that was going to solve a lot of issues.
Well, if you stop to think, the county's even higher, but if all the buildings and stuff that the county has, the city of Boscobel is no different, all the land that we own and all the things that we don't pay taxes on, how much that would add to the tax roll if we didn't own all that stuff. It'd be significant. We got land everywhere, you know, and we shouldn't have. Get rid of it.
Most of it came by, in case you're wondering. Looking into it, a lot of it came by from a flood.
Yep.
FEMA comes in, declares it, no structure can be put back on here.
Yeah.
It goes to, and then FEMA declares it goes to the county, so that the county has it.
Yeah.
And then those pile up and pile up, and then again, if we're going to do a building project, you know, we're going to, some of the parcels are quarter acres, some of them, the county farms, hundreds of acres.
Yeah.
So.
And then they come in and change the floodplain locations, and some of that is now taken out of the floodplain.
Yeah.
Now they can build there.
I used to be on the floodplain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of Boscobel was taken out.
When I bought my house in 92, I was on the floodplain.
And we just had the 500-year flood a few
years ago. Yeah.
So.
Which got pretty close, but it didn't flood me too bad. So. I would like to point out that, I mean, we do, in an emergency, if this building was incapacitated tomorrow, I could just about move my staff from home and have them be, I mean, because most of what we do, a lot of our information is all on web-based databases that we can access.
But, I mean, if this building
my staff is
fire,
very good. If you give us Wi-Fi, we'll be okay.
If this building catches on fire right now,
yeah.
Do you know where you're going? You need to know that. You need to know.
Well,
you need to know that.
First of all, we're going to have a little tailgate party out in the parking lot by a brewery.
Is this a celebration?
Discretionary day, Steve, to watch it burn, but once we make sure it's good and going, then we'll call somebody. But
gas, siphon gas out of your car.
Make sure that it's going before we call. No.
Oh my God! All right, any other public comment on?
My last public comment might be that Lori has been by far and away the best department head to work with in this process.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And as far as my concern at the beginning was the difference between wants and needs, and it's all been about needs, and there hasn't been any wants, which I think is good. And again, very cordial and understanding and good to work.
And I think it's important to respect both food fields. I really don't, you know, I just need a building. That really, people keep, you know, people have pressed me at different times saying, which way would you really rather go? And I'm like, really? I need a building. You know, that is.
And I think there's a certain amount, let's get it done. Let's.
Yeah, because now we're going farther out. So now even like they were talking, even with this, the bids won't go out till.
Yes.
We're missing the spring period where we could have been starting, and it's just
2020, 2021.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and this, yeah, you're right. This, I don't.
Is
know.
That before it would be done or before it would be started?
Done.
Done.
Yeah, but again, there, I've got some friends in law enforcement, so we're not going to see the new jail. You know, we're 2 years from retiring.
Sure. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think.
But again, there it's that part of it should have been done. This should have been gone years ago.
But I think our electrical concerns out here need to be studied and looked at because we have
magnetic
fields
and
I don't know
light sockets and the like is not a good thing.
Right. I
and
just know that they do have implications on health.
You know, I always remember once you know there's a problem. You're reliable.
Yeah,
that's right.
The grounding, you know, and
you're
like
liable.
I said, I remember staff telling me they literally waded through water in some places, and I have just, I have just said,
you're not going to do that.
You open the door and you see flooding in here, you shut the door. You don't
exactly.
come in. You don't get your stuff. No,
exactly.
We're not going to do that.
You don't know what's live.
Yeah.
There are just too many unknowns, and again, obviously we're not going to. We wouldn't be wise to put any money into this.
Well. Yeah, exactly.
But evidently that's been the feeling for some time, but we aren't moving forward to do anything about it.
Yeah.
And again, there, whether it be a house in town, wing of the Orchard Manor or whatever, you know, I get into, I know we're getting off topic, I get that same.
Well, I had always felt at one time when the hospital was looking, you know, that would be a nice setting. If the hospital, they were looking at one time to build outside of town or, you know, somewhere else, and I always thought that would be perfect, you know, size and building for us, not just ADRC, but probably both
just
of us.
The board pretty well split on the decision to do something.
I think there's probably more in favor than
more in favor than not.
And I think even part of that is just, even that is, there's just, we have to do something. We can't keep
kicking it down the road.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this building is crumbling before our eyes. What's that?
I want something done expeditiously. Even if it's a temporary.
Yeah.
All right, we're not going to keep something for, but for now we're going to do that.
Yeah.
Or if we're not, you know, if we got a facility, whether it's there or whether it's a house, get ADRC out of here. And then, you know, because like you said, I think we know too much to leave it here. That's for darn sure.
Yeah.
And again, there, I get into this whole thing about the difference between a prison and a jail. Did you know there was a difference between a prison and a jail? I didn't know there was a difference between a prison and jail. We can't put any. We got
rules.
If Bosco Bell's got an empty wing, and there's that $50 million. No, we can't. Well, we're right here. We, you know, it's just a short drive. No, they have to go to Vernon County
or Richland County
because that's there in jail, but not in prison. And, well, you can't tell me that we can't partition off a wall or put a
But yeah, you don't want to be out of prison. Security is so high.
Not that one.
But again, I can't think, isn't there a basement or something? I can't believe it. I couldn't go up there and see something that we couldn't.
Not out there. There's
but again, there the difference between prison and the jail.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
Okay, any other further public comment on anything besides the building?
Does anybody want to be notified when that admin meeting is or when the next board meeting is? I can let you know if you're interested. Or
well, I think I would like to know.
Okay.
If, I don't know what difference it would make, but just an FYI, I guess.
There are times, I've been sitting... I'm incredibly busy right now, and these building meetings take some time, and so you keep putting all this time in, and I'm thinking, am I putting all this time in for a building that I'm not even going to ever see to fruition? It's just like it gets a little maddening sometimes. So but yes, we definitely need something.
Well, and I certainly can't
electrical
see the
report
cost
just,
of it going down.
No, it's not going
right
to, yeah,
materials even.
But the electrical report tells me that we really do need to get moving forward quickly. So,
and I don't think we need to wait for a new building.
What's that?
And I don't think we need to wait for a new building in 2021.
Yeah.
Are you getting any response from that?
No.
Deaf ears, huh?
Well, I think, unfortunately, again, all the procedures you have to do for the bidding and all of that, they take some time, and we have taken a lot of time discussing it for so long. So, I mean, this is not the first round with this.
Oh, my. No.
I mean, I think this went back before you and I and everybody was even here.
In 2014, and this guy from Samuels Groups gave me a phone call and was yelling at me about not moving forward and kicking the can down the road. I said, look, pal, I don't know who the hell you are, but I haven't been on this thing since 2014. I don't know when you came on board. I did ask him what district he lived in, so how his taxes would be affected, and then he tells me he lives in Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, he's from Des Moines. I didn't know where Kurt was from, so.
Well, I've been here almost 6 years. I think I'm getting pretty close. And we had the same issues then. We talked about the same things.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, some action has to be taken, and it has to be taken soon. That would be my comment on it.
So. All right.
Okay.
On to advocacy. Anything else with public comment of any kind? Okay, hearing none. Advocacy reports. Pat, I think that's you and I at the
regional board.
And I was trying to remember because they canceled the one in November. We had it early in December. And do you remember kind of the stuff discussed?
Not really.
Probably budget. Did you go over budget?
They talked about the state grouping that they were shorter members for the.
Oh, the GWAR.
Oh, GWAR.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that they needed people to volunteer for that. And that they had gotten a new, that they had extended the...
Alzheimer's.
The dementia grant.
The dementia thing,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dementia specialist.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's very good news for us because she's doing a really good job out there and making some significant process.
Does that only go till half of the year or does that go the whole year?
It was extended through the whole year.
Was it?
Next year.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't even remember now.
I know it was
extended
July was coming.
Yeah.
Right, and it was extended through the rest of the year.
But as far as, I mean, other regional offices would like to have somebody like that. And
It's not all over the state, so we were very lucky to get
one. Right, it wasn't said that everybody's going to get one.
No, there was a legislative bill on that last year, but that did not go anywhere. So, I think it went to the representatives and they passed it, but I think the Senate never even looked at it. So they may bring that back. Along with that, they are putting out some training, some conference calls that are coming up because there is going to be another dementia innovation grant. And I literally just read this morning, so I'm trying to remember it. And it looks like on dementia crisis, which I think we would be very interested in. Dementia crisis is a real problem because you can't detain somebody, you can't ED them, when they have a dementia diagnosis, and it becomes real difficult to find a place to take them, including our own nursing home here, doesn't. And I get the reasons why they don't, because they don't always have the staffing for that, and there's, you know, a lot of liability. However, it still becomes an issue when you've
got a person in crisis. Well, the gentleman just from Beloit that was found here in Grant County. I'm sure he just got turned around and just kept driving.
Yeah. But we have some that become like real agitated and violent and things like that, and then they need a place to go. And finding them a place to go is very, very difficult. SBC often won't take them unless they voluntarily sign in. Well, if you're in an agitated state and you've already got dementia, the chances are you're going to volunteer to go somewhere else are not going to be good. And it often becomes an issue for the sheriff's department, who are then calling us because they think we have some jurisdiction over people, which we do not. And we can try to find some places, but oftentimes that's very difficult. And Unified can't do much either because of the dementia diagnosis. So I'm interested in these conference calls. I'm hoping that we can, I was going to send an email to Nate, and Kathy Rink is leaving at Unified, so maybe Holly over there to see if we can't, and then Deb Donald up here to see if we can't participate in those or listen to them, because we really do need a team to look at that. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, it's very, very frustrating, and oftentimes it's Nate's department. It's an officer at a house for 5 hours or an officer in an emergency room trying to figure out what they're going to do with this person. So it's a real issue when it happens.
Okay. The Alzheimer's Dementia Alliance workshop is
that's coming up March 16th at Southwest Tech. You can register through us. There are brochures out, and we probably have some here if you're interested in that. It's always been a very good workshop. I've heard good things. Unfortunately, I've never been able to attend it because I've usually got something else going on, but I've always heard great reviews on it.
So if anybody's interested,
you've gone to it.
Yeah, we had a board member go last year too, and he said it was very, very good.
So I'm going to be in Las Vegas.
I would like, shoot.
Watching people lose their money. Okay, number 7, position vacancy. But before we kind of get into that, can I ask what's going on at Platteville with the senior center?
My today's update, I don't know much. I did meet with John Mettinger from the Senior Center, probably back November, December.
Does everybody know what's going on at the Senior Center?
Platteville City budget, they're kind of in dire straits, right, Vicki? I don't know what
broke?
To say.
Are they broke?
Well, they're certainly looking for money,
well,
I'll tell you that.
To public land and that whole thing, you know, their TIFs have gotten them in some issues, I think.
So one of the things they were looking at was cutting the senior center budget. They cut it in 2016 and were looking to cut it further in 2017. I think they have backed off about that a little bit. There was talk about just shutting it down, selling the building, but they haven't, the last thing I've heard, they've gotten a little bit of backlash, or quite a bit of backlash from that.
Where's that building located?
It's right by over by the post office.
Post office.
Okay. I'd heard that there was a building that they wanted to sell the property, and I just thought maybe they had somebody that was interested in buying it, and that was the reason, and maybe they're...
It's a half block off of Main Street, so... John and I did meet. We talked about some possible options and maybe what we could do if his budget does get cut further and what we need to look at. So we discussed some possible locations. Vicki was nice enough. You're on House of Peace Committee. They were interested in possibly hosting a meal site there.
Where's that at?
Lutheran Church of Peace out by, right behind Melby's.
Okay.
Right, kind of out by the golf course.
Okay.
They have a really nice facility.
They do. And they have always been great at, we had Head Start classrooms there when I was in Head Start. The other option we looked at was O.E. Gray, the O.E. Gray School. Again, we had, when I was in the Head Start world, we have a classroom there, and
there again,
still there.
Bonnie had said.
Does Buttonville have a community, like a community center?
What's that?
Does Buttonville have like a community center?
It, well, the senior center, I don't think they have a regular community.
Like,
they just
like
have
our
the senior
center.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they don't.
Say,
their senior center
the
is
to
dedicated
go.
To seniors.
I see, okay.
But I envision maybe the O.E. Gray site as maybe being more of a community. So I think we do have a couple options. I met with the Commission on Aging committee there in December, and they were brainstorming some things and trying to really, you know, put some pressure on some of the their alder, what do you call
council.
Them, their council, mm-hmm. To not do it. Because, and I had, did speak to them and said, you know, as you're in conversation with them, let them know that, you know, we serve over 20,000 meals to seniors in that area every year, like 22,000.
How many members, I mean, Blackville must have a pretty big organization as far as the senior center for meal site.
Yeah, that's 22,000 a year is what we put out for congregate. That's our biggest site
by
far.
I would think it would be.
Boscobel
is
our second, but we do 22,000 meals
wow.
out of there. So I said use that number to your advantage because that's a lot of meals. And I think that would surprise a lot of people. So anyway, we did some talking. So we also looked at if their budget does get cut, whether we could provide some busing there, and that's going to be dependent on whether I can get a bus driver. But if they do provide some busing, they have their own bus, the senior center does in Platteville, and they provide busing, I think, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and then we've done it on Wednesday for them already. But if their budget would get cut, you know, and I could get maybe another person in there, we could look at providing our bus maybe potentially on another day because it would behoove us to, given the amount of meals we have coming out of there. So it, you know, it would be silly if we didn't when we, you know, number one, we need to increase our transportation anyway, and it's a site that could use it. So we would take a look at that. But right now I haven't heard back from John, and I will touch base. And quite frankly, I haven't touched base with him lately just because I've been a little swamped. But but I've asked him to keep in touch with me if, you know, he hears more. So I think they backed off maybe a little bit. I don't know, Vicki, if you've been watching much. But I do think if they decide to let it go, that we do have a couple alternative sites that we could make do with. I actually like the O.E. Gray would have some great possible intergenerational things we could do because there is a Head Start classroom there.
Now, does ADRC pay them rent for that site?
We do not pay rent to the senior center. We pay
anywhere.
We do, and we do to certain sites. Yes, it's all been and honestly, all that was negotiated long before I was
right.
Here.
Yeah.
But the senior center, it's always. I think they've always looked at that as a win-win. To have a meal site there brings people to the site for them, and we looked at it as a win-win. So I think we pay garbage there and telephone, and then. You know, we provide the
so
meals.
So what they're looking at, is that the only thing that's in that building?
It's, yeah, okay. Because the...
So they're basically looking at it and say, we aren't getting anything out of
it. It's not a huge building.
They're not paying taxes, but they're not getting anything out of it.
The downstairs is kind of like, I mean, they've got two or three computers down there.
Yeah, couch,
there's
TV.
Just, I mean, it's a real nice...
They want to get back on the tax roll.
But it's well used. I mean, I think, I don't know how many... Like I said, the amount of meals coming out of there, it's very well used. But, you know, like I said, I do think there are some alternatives as well. So there's not too many places. Boscobel and Platteville are the only ones in Grant County that even have anything for seniors in terms of a center. And yours and ours isn't a senior center anymore.
No,
it's considered a
community center.
So.
It's busy all the time.
It is
all
busy
the
all
time.
The time. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's no age limit on...
Well, we have the meal site there. And I would say primarily during the day it is a senior center.
Senior center, okay.
But there's...
But they can rent it out for other things.
There's numerous things that occur. Yeah. There's stuff going on every night
there. There's a nice kitchen there. There's a lot of room in there. It's built basically just for that. Called it. Mrs. Tuffley years ago donated that to the city.
for that purpose, and that's what it's been ever since.
Wow.
It's nice. It's really
and it's
nice.
Rented out, too, for bridal parties
right
and different
to the
things.
Gym.
Mm-hmm.
You can go from that right into the gym, actually. So,
yeah, we will be touching base with them and staying on top of that. But like I said, you know, we felt like we've got at least two good alternatives if we need to that we can go to. So
okay, well, thanks for asking my question on Pleville.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's the position vacancy?
The position vacancy is Crystal. It is the admin two position. Crystal gave notice in December.
She's the one who usually sets in here.
Yeah, she did take another job. It was a little more pay and a little more flexibility in terms of being able to work at home some. So that was kind of ideal for somebody with a young child. She did give her 2 weeks' notice. The way the structure is when we're not going to have a board meeting anytime soon, I can contact the chair in order to advertise the position and get that going, because obviously we've got to have the position.
Yeah.
So I did, and Mary Lou did approve it. So we actually have hired. We just had interviews last week. And we hired Courtney Brookhart from the Treasury's office. So I've robbed from another office now. Courtney works for Treasury and IT. She's like two part-time positions between those two offices. So I think that was probably her motivation for looking for something maybe all in one. So she will be starting. She gave her 2 weeks' notice at IT. And then since February is typically Treasury's really busy time of the year because they're with the taxes and everything coming in. I met with Louise and said that we would work something out. So through till February 20th, we're going to share her a little bit, 2 and 3 days a week with Louise, so that we don't destroy their department as
well.
How
are things with the staff overall?
I would say, you know, pretty good. I think we've hired a new INA. We got that position hired, Nicole Atkinson. I call her Nicole Atkinson every time. That's because I know her from a child, being Nicole Atkinson. Nicole Bullmeister is her married name.
Sure.
But you know, probably know who she is. Pat, you might know her as well. I don't know. They live in Fenimore, but originally she's from Boscobel. I know her parents, so that's why I called her Atkinson. She's just been on board she came on board January 3rd. Doing really well. Already has her functional screen certification done already. Got right on that. She's been doing, there's a lot of online training. So she's been going out observing staff and doing a lot of online training. I just asked her, I need a staff person to fill in at an open house Thursday night, and I don't have anybody else, but it's either me or her. And I said, do you think you could go and do it? She's like, I think I can. I'll just study up ahead of time. So she takes a lot of initiative, and she's doing a good job. So Courtney will also be good in terms of this position because she's already familiar. She does payroll for IT. She does vouchers for Treasury on Springbook, which is our financial database for the county. So she'll already know how to do that. I won't have to train her on that, which is fantastic. She's got a lot of experience with Excel and things, so I don't think she's going to have any problems stepping in here. That's going to be really nice for me because right now, I'll be honest with you, I'm drowning just a little bit. It's, you know, I've got, with Crystal gone, I'm having to do payroll, and payroll at the end of the year is, you know, you've got to do 2016 and then you've got to do 2017 and split that all, and same with vouchers. So I feel like I'm running behind the bus most of the time these days.
How many staff do you have?
In here we've got 10. Marsha, well, full-time Marsha, Leisha, Mariah. Let me do it this way. Mariah is part transportation and part front desk. Marsha is our elder benefit specialist. She's full-time that. Angela is our DBS. She's full-time that, ADRC. Leisha is our INA lead, full-time through ADRC. Ruth is our nutrition coordinator and caregiver coordinator, and just a little bit of ADRC. Then myself, then Sarah. Miles is part-time office assistant. She covers the other half of Mariah. Then Crystal was full-time admin. to do the payroll, to do the vouchers, to do all most of the financial stuff, and a lot of the reporting. Then Jess and Nicole are INA. So,
10?
Yeah, so 10 in the office. And then we've got the meal site managers who work part-time.
How many clients come in on a daily basis?
Oh, that depends. Some days we might have one or two. Some days we could have five or six. It just sort of depends. It's kind of hard to know. Yeah, yeah, it kind of depends.
What do they come in for?
Mostly, well, that depends too. A lot of it is, they might be new to Medicare, so they don't know what they're supposed to do. Some of them come directly over from Social Security sometimes, because Social Security will refer them. They might have a problem with a prescription drug coverage. They might think they're paying too much, or they're having some difficulties, so they might want to see an elder benefits. They might be a caregiver looking for some help. It might be, you know, I've come home for the holidays. I realize my mom is not doing as well as I thought she was. She's got some memory issues. They want some of that information. Yeah.
How do you monitor where they're from?
We do. To some extent, we do. We have to be careful because people don't have to give us information if they don't want, like if they call in.
Yeah.
But typically, yeah, we do track the towns that they're from within the county if we know it. We do. So then we kind of try to target, like if we see, when we did our dementia workshop, we had seen that our numbers in kind of Bloomington or Mount Hope were a little lower. Now, granted, those are little burgs, but we did then a targeted workshop out there for that and tried to kind of raise awareness. And then we also did a targeted mailing out there through the region to kind of just raise, hey, we're here.
We're pretty changed.
Where is it? Oh, I can't really.
Is that in the county building?
No, it's not.
Is that on Main Street as you're coming in?
I know.
No, that's.
Huh? That, is that homeward bound?
That's homeward.
I can't.
That's where the old Geisler's.
I've been by it, Steve, but I can't tell you right now. I can't tell you where it's at. They are not part of our region.
No, they have. How many sites do they have? You have any idea? Probably.
How many sites?
Crawford County.
In terms of?
How many meal sites?
Oh, they do most of their meal sites all in restaurants, so they don't have very many.
Is that working out?
Two or three.
Because you know? We've talked about that, but we couldn't find anybody wanting to do it, right?
Jackson County, I've talked to Todd Gunderson in Jackson County. They've only done it that way with restaurants, and they like it. Vernon County does quite a few restaurants, and they think it works out. I'm most interested in the voucher program. The state's never allowed a voucher program. We're kind of meandering on this, but the state's never allowed a voucher program in the past, but now they're starting to come around.
How does a voucher work? You take a voucher into a restaurant?
You basically say, you obviously have to contract with the restaurant, to do it. But they would then be able to use it.
Yeah.
And I personally...
You leave it to the participating restaurant.
Oh, okay.
I think that... to me is a great way to go. That's what I'm most interested in. Like I said, the state has been very hesitant. You know, I've been saying for a long time, I think the nutrition program's an old dinosaur that needs to be revamped.
Even going back to what we have in the district I'm from, Dickeyville has a community center library, and don't anybody take this the wrong way. But I asked my old buddies that I see playing cards, one of them my older brother and that kind of thing. Why don't you guys go to that ADRC? Why don't you go to that meal site? I said, that's just for a bunch of old women. We wouldn't go with, you know, somebody that, oh, my wife goes, but I sure as hell ain't.
And in Blue River, it would be the old men.
You're right.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I said, well, like, if the bowling alley, they have a nice lunch and Katrina's kitchen. I said, if they had it, would you guys use it then? Oh, yeah. We'd go to a restaurant. And again, they might have cards.
Yeah.
There'll be a bingo.
And I agree.
There might be other things happen.
Yeah.
Versus this, and it's stigma, and it's literally five.
And again?
Old ladies go to the library to eat a meal that's
And again, I will bring you in when we have a lull sometime in it and bring you in our Chapter 8 regulations for this program, because it is so restrictive in terms of...
So if restaurants do it, then you don't use your meal site.
Yeah, well, actually, if you have it in a restaurant, you still need a meal site manager there.
At a restaurant, but not at a meal site. In other words, as Bosque Bell is an example.
Yes, if the
restaurants took it over,
then you wouldn't have the meal site.
Restaurant owner be the meal site?
No. I believe not. I shouldn't say no to that, but I'll bet you money no. It's very restrictive. And I get, you have to make it nutritious, and you have to, because you are receiving federal dollars to do that. I had to do that, and Head Start has to meet one-third of your daily needs. You got to have a nutritionist
If we all went to the meal site at a restaurant, the meals that we get are going to be different than the meals that somebody walks in off the street and looks at the special.
They're going to serve you a certain thing.
Right, yeah. For one thing, the portions are much smaller than you would get in a restaurant. For one thing, because obviously you only have to serve so much. And anybody who goes to a restaurant knows that the portions are crazy. And even with our portions being smaller, we still have people that eat it. My mom could have gotten by with that, for two meals, even with the smaller portions. So there would be smaller portions, which is why there would be some advantage. That's why you can negotiate with the restaurant, because their portions would be smaller than they would normally give. But, it is, quite honestly, we're getting there. It's on my aging plan to look at that, and we need to move forward on it. But, I have had so many different things to move forward to that it's just kind of next in line. But I'm really thinking the voucher. There's a couple more counties now. Somebody just put it out on a list, email served the other day, looking at that voucher program. And that's where I feel like we need to go.
Where does the county board feel 20 years from now that ADRC is going to be? Is it going to be existence anymore?
Regional, that gets back to going back to the building plan. If we let Bainbridge build the building, and in 5 years it's regionalized and it's not going to be regionalized in Lancaster. If it's a five county consortium, obviously you put it like maybe in Dodgeville in the middle, depending upon what. Then, Dave.
Well, we're already regionalized. Yeah. It's whether they regionalize.
So if they regionalize it, then. Then they got to bus people somewhere.
Away from it.
They got to bus people somewhere then. Mm. If it's regionalized,
we're kind of off our position vacancy.
Yeah.
How about we go back to the grant? We'll move on maybe, and we'll come back to that. And I'll tell you a couple things on that.
Cause I want to ask a couple questions now that they're talking about this meal. Now, when people, I've had a few calls. People have called me, and. I want to get a hold of ADRC. I need some help. Mm-hmm. Now, who do we refer to them first? I usually go to you.
That's fine.
That's all.
You can refer them to me. You can. That's fine.
I have
people that said I read your name in the paper, Lori, or I have people that say, I called you because I know you, and I just rather start with you. And I say that's fine, but I'm not the one that you're going to want to work with. I'm going to give you to my best staff person that will. That's what I do. That's no problem to give them my name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I have no problem.
Well, I wondered about that, but I've had calls.
And depending on what it is, I will give them to the appropriate staff member. But no, I have a lot of people that just know me or know my name, and they call based on that name, and that's not an issue at all. Uh-huh. I don't mind that.
But the doctors and nurses and that, they don't lead them into this. I mean, they're in... I've even had people come out to our place and say, because they know we have a handicapped daughter, and we know you got this kind of equipment. Can you help us get it? Where do we go? There's a lot of questions out there.
We get a variety. So,
okay.
But no, it is no problem to give them my name. I have no problem with that, Shirley. So
we hope. We hope the ADRC becomes a sounding block for that.
Yeah.
Because
I think, Steve, to your question too, it's really going to depend on what's going to happen with Medicare and Medicaid. And that will, that determines
those
too.
Driving force of it,
because right now, we are the gateway I don't want to say the gateway, but we are the, with the functional screen, we do the functional screen to determine if somebody is functionally eligible to be in family care. And then economic support does, of course, the financial piece of it. So some of that will be part of it, too. But the fact is we have a baby boomer population that is aging, and there are a lot of them, and they need to know things. And, you know, people really don't know. The systems, again, you know, unfortunately, you get into government systems, they're not set up like, geez, here's three simple steps, and this is all you need to do. Anybody who's applied for anything knows that there is never three simple steps. It's like, what do they want me to do? And I'm in the business, and I'm like, what do they want you to do? It's very convoluted.
A lot of questions out there.
I want to say, though, one of the, I should have Marcia come in at the end, because I can't remember the exact amount, but Marcia had a lady in here who was, whose prescription drug coverage was just incredible. Like, I think it was $3,000 a year or something. $3,500. Came in. Marcia met with her for Part D and whatever and looked at some various options. And we found her an option where she's going to pay, like, $15. She got her on senior care. That $3,000 goes away for her. That, I mean, for God's sake, anybody... You know, I mean, that's why we do what we do, because those are great successes for us. That gives somebody so much more ability to live and contribute, you know, to the economy again.
And the medical issues are going to get pretty hot and heavy, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there is some scary stuff out there with that. So that I will be bringing you back that. We do have, and that is part of the aging program. Advocacy is part of our aging programs as well as ADRC, that we do need to present, you know, the ifs and ands and what's could happen. Now, we don't know yet, you know, if will they repeal and replace. If they repeal, there could be so much more concerns than if they replace. We don't know what that will look like. Right. So we do have some advocacy experts that watch that, and I'll be bringing you that as it happens. Because there are some scary things. If the Affordable Care Act was entirely repealed, there could, I don't know if any of you remember, there was a time when there was a donut hole where people had to pay full costs. That could be, that has went away for seniors. And seniors don't realize some of that, that that's part of the Affordable Care Act too. So that could come back. So there are some, you know, I think in a lot of times with the ACA, people just think, well, that didn't really affect seniors. But there are some caveats that where it really did, so they'll need to know that. So, and you'll need to know that, and I will bring you that information, and you can use it as you wish. But
I know as
part of it is advocacy.
As a physical therapist, they are already have classes that are going to be coming up on how these changes are going to affect you as a PT treating some of these people, because they're not going to know.
Yeah.
They're going to come to you and expect they're going to get treated, and it,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
these,
one of the things that
you're going to have your diagnosis, but we might not be able to afford treatment
constantly as people with chronic conditions. That's a huge, you know, that's why people are ending up on family care and ending up in nursing homes, is because they're chronic conditions, and they live longer, but you live longer with these chronic conditions.
That's
so
right.
That impedes your. So anyway, back to position vacancy.
So you have those filled?
We hired Courtney. Yes, and like I said, she will be starting full-time with us, entirely full-time, February 20th, which is why I'm going on vacation March 4th. Courtney. I'm just going to throw all the payroll at her and run. No.
Did you need action on that?
Yes.
I'll make the motion.
I needed on the position vacancy to hire, so.
I was just going to say, tired of the one already hired. I'll tell you that.
So, yeah.
So Steve made the motion and Dan seconded.
I think we should do that.
Good thing. I'll tell you what, if you said no, you'd see me headed right out the door. I wouldn't even stop. You'd all be done.
Okay.
I'd be like, get those vouchers paid, Dan, would you? So,
any more action on that? That take care of it?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried.
I do want to make one comment on it. That kind of went with the position reclassification, which I didn't necessarily think needed to be a reclassification. I want to kind of explain that a little bit. So my thoughts are with this position vacancy now when we get Courtney on, is I want to do some more cross-training in here so that we have a backup for payroll and vouchers, and it's not me. Because quite frankly, I'm not hardly getting my job done.
There's stuff like that even need to come before us, though.
That's,
if you're going to do cross-training, the more you do, the better. Why would we ever say no?
Well, that makes the employee much more marketable.
Right. The thing with that was that Mariah's position, one of the positions is paid as an office assistant and an admin, so there was some talk of whether that would have to be one. And I hadn't really, given the situation I've been in, I haven't had really a lot of time to even consider it and think about it much. but there were some concerns within the county about reclass, and there's a wage study being looked at by the county. And so I think Joyce's point was maybe just get it on and deal with it. Well, the county just, the executive committee met last week, and they, I think, are going to possibly move forward with this wage study. So they're not even going to look at reclasses, even though mine is different from ones that they were going to consider. Oftentimes, reclasses in their county are done by a department when somebody gets to the end of the pay scale and then they want to get them more money. That was not my intent at all.
Sure.
But I think what I can do is internal, and it doesn't affect you guys, and you don't have to approve it. So I think we can come up with something. But I definitely need some cross-training here because payroll and vouchers and things like that are very time-consuming. And they're time-consuming for me because I don't get into Springbrook that often. I can do it, but obviously I don't do it every week, so I'm a little slow at it, you know.
Okay, so on a 9?
Yes.
Approval of the vouchers?
So you've got some of them. Teresa, that's a report that I can't pull off of Springbrook because I don't know how. Teresa pulled off what she could for me. So you've got some of them, but you're probably not going to have all of them. And I apologize for that. I'll bring the rest of them next month. I don't think we've had anything in the last 2 months since you haven't been here other than some maintenance costs, some computers.
Well, I just have this Livewell of chiropractic. Doesn't that come under insurance?
Which one is that?
This one right here.
I don't even know where that is. It's probably...
Doesn't that come under an insurance type thing? Not as...
If it was... Not if it's a workers' comp.
A workers' comp would be...
I don't know where that one is, though. Oh, wait a minute. That one I'm going to have to look up.
I always have to do this with a piece of paper.
I know, I can't see that either.
My eyes don't go across the page.
Are meal site managers on the vouchers? Sometimes they are in terms of, all staff are. If they get mileage reimbursement, that they will show up. Which one are you looking at?
I'd like to see if it's Dickieville, Kirkenbush.
We reimburse her for, and I don't know which one you're looking at because I can't see it. But
I,
we do
reimburse. Not on any of them. Is why I'm asking. I don't see.
Oh, well, Betty is not. She's reimbursed for some mileage, but Dickieville pays for her whatever she does over there. Again, that's before my time.
Where's your Dickieville then?
I don't know who pays for it. I'm assuming it's the village. We do not pay any time on her.
Okay.
The only thing we pay over there is the
meals. We don't pay the site. The library, Brickell Library, doesn't get.
That I'd have to look.
They're not on any of those.
I don't believe so. We pay Betty's mileage because she does some home. She gets some delivery for us and picks up the meals.
Okay.
We pay for that. And then we pay for, obviously, the subsidizing the meals for the people that receive the meals there. But it's only one day a week.
Okay.
So I would have to look at the Live Well. I mean, thinking that might have been, it was either a workers' comp or it could have been a medical exam that we have to have, and they may have allowed it through there. I will have to check on that one for you.
Okay. Any other questions on the vouchers?
We did get computers, and I don't know if that's on this batch, but you will see in the next batch, if it's not in this one, $5,000 for computers. For ADRC, we had budgeted that into equipment. If you remember way back in probably October, you thought we should go ahead with that, so we did. So we did purchase six computers, I believe, with that. Kind of came in at $49.78. I couldn't have done any better.
I'll move to approve the voucher.
All right, have a second to that?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Ooh.
All right, on to number 10, financial report.
All right, you've got those. Revenue-wise, we're still waiting. Probably some of our aging programs lag a little bit. Mostly our transportation in our taxi programs lag behind. We get our payments kind of late. In fact, we just got the third quarter in December, just like last week. So revenue-wise there, it looks like we may be a little behind, but we will get those in. They just come a little late. I'm not sure why. The DOT's timelines screw me up a little bit. I do want to point out there is an error under taxi, $10,376 in revenue. Part of that is we got a DOT payment for like $8,000-something that should have gone into the Section 18, and another $1,400 from Boscobel should have gone into the city, so I got to make that adjustment with Nancy. Crystal just categorized those wrong, so those were not all passenger revenue. In fact, majority of it was not passenger revenue. So
Boscobel was...
Boscobel kicks in $1,400 for our taxi program. Lancaster kicks in, I think, $4,000. And Fenimore also kicks in, I think, $1,400 or $1,300 or somewhere around there. They all three communities, and then Dodgeville does as well for our Dodgeville. Dodgeville and Iowa County kick in some money for our Dodgeville taxi. Which is a good thing.
And that's being used pretty well for all of them, right?
Yeah, the taxi.
I think I saw it running
yesterday. It was running.
Did it run yesterday?
Yeah, it did.
I think I saw that. Stay off the road. Here goes a taxi.
We didn't run the bus. We didn't run the bus, but we ran the taxi. Well, just in town, so I didn't have the bus.
I found that interesting, though.
Well,
people still probably had to get someplace.
They have they have doctor's appointments set up. They set up their schedule sometimes around that taxi
schedule. Oh, I'm sure
schedule.
They do.
So
yes.
If John can get here, we will. So overall, if you look at a few things as we're coming down to year end, you are going to see that service management we are overspent in, and that's just because we didn't trade with nutrition for some things. So nutrition we're underspent, and it's just because she didn't get that budgeted right, or she didn't get that taken out of. But overall, at the very end, as you will see, we will still be underspent as far as the budget. We got a lot more expenses coming into this yet. But I'm probably not going to do much with that service management. I've got it this year that I will take care of that with Teresa and get that set up. When we first came here, they didn't budget anything out by program, and we've been trying to do that. But it's been a little more difficult because I didn't have anything to utilize. And I thought we had it split out better between service management and nutrition. I thought more of Mariah's time, Sarah's time, Crystal's time was getting split out, and it got charged to service management instead of nutrition. It's not a big deal because they're both aging programs, and we can use service management for that. It's just not a true reflection on what their duties are within nutrition, and I would like to get that straightened out. So I have a memo to go to Teresa to do that this year, so hopefully we can get a little bit closer on that. Our bus wages, in terms of our transportation, we are making money in transportation because we're not, we've cut a lot of expenses in transportation. So, but we're getting a little bit of an increase this year with our transportation grant. So I'm going to look at trying to add maybe in a couple more routes, possibly Platteville being that one if we need to do that, and possibly maybe just a couple other routes during the month maybe. because we cut back when we lost Diana. And then I'm going to charge more of Mariah's time to that as well, because she's spending much more time than is reflected in the budget on that. She's done a great job of getting billing, but billing takes time. So we'll do some things with that and try to get those on track. It's evolving. I'm getting closer, but it's still been quite a process. So we need to continually just figure out how to get this as close as we can to where we need to be.
I still look at, do we get anything on the meal sites anymore with the meals and so forth? Am I missing?
Do we what?
Get anything on the meal sites?
You will not on this one because I can't get the nutrition reports done yet. So that's why you will see no nutrition reports right now, because Nancy is waiting. Nancy said she would help me, but unfortunately Nancy's doing all sorts of end-of-year stuff too. So that is just one thing that had to go.
I mean, it's just some of those that we question keeping them. I'm still back here wanting to visit some of these sites.
Yeah. Potosi, you know, we did shut down Potosi. That's gone. And we will, I promise you, when Courtney gets back on board, that you will get those on a more regular basis. But right now, there was no way I could get those done.
Well, I just think as we think about wanting to do this a different way, mm-hmm. we might...
Knowing those numbers. What I am trying to do right now, which has shown some flaws in our system, is I'm trying to reconcile with the database. Because the meal site managers send numbers in. Crystal has usually compiled those numbers. And then Sarah takes a roster from those and puts them into the state's aging database so that we report those numbers to the feds. What I found out, which Crystal wouldn't be able to catch, but I could, is when I run some reports that I found out that I can now run in Sam's, I found errors in like Boscobel's report on people who shouldn't have been eligible for home-delivered meals. Well, what happened somewhere when Crystal got those, she was off a line when she must have copied them into the report. So we had all sorts of ineligible people that looked like they were receiving meals. So I have to now go back and re-enter all of that in. So that's one of the reasons why I don't have anything, because October's has to be re-entered in. Now, the good news is by reconciling that every month, if I do that, I can catch that sort of thing, which we haven't been able to in the past. But I'm finding more in reports in Sam's, now that I'm getting more into Sam's and used to it, that I can do that with. So that's my goal, is to kind of catch some of that, where we wouldn't have caught that in the past.
Well, probably. I just know when we go to the regional meetings, and I hear, is it like Monroe and some of those places that are doing breakfasts and different Veterans Day
but
type
you know
jobbies,
what?
And they're not sure those are working either.
And they don't serve near the meals that we do. I'll tell you what, okay. I told you, I think before, when I got the list of how many, like the counties and who's serving how many meals, if you take out the bigger metro counties, we are one of the highest serving meals in the state. Now, we thought, I think we have bigger goals of what we should be meeting, but when I looked at the meals that we are cranking out on a yearly basis, which is about 72,000, I think, somewhere around in there, we are high.
Is that a good thing?
It is in terms of what the feds want, because the feds want,
But you know where I'm going with that.
I don't. I will tell you my opinion on that. I think that we do need to look at, I think the county puts in a generous amount of tax levy into the nutrition program. So therefore it behooves us to do that as efficiently as we can. I think they put in more than other counties probably do, or I think it's a very generous amount. Now, do I think, I would say probably in most cases a lot of the seniors that do come to our nutrition sites do need it. I think seniors that do not maybe come for special events because they feel it's more of a community event, but I feel a lot of them, you know, don't if they don't need to. My parents never went to a meal site.
Yeah. There are some people that should go, and there are people that go that
probably shouldn't.
The fact is the way it's written, you know, it's not based. While it's targeted, you know, it's there because of that low-income population.
Yeah,
it is not.
Yeah, exactly.
It is open to everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And you hope that everybody then would pay their fair share of it.
They don't.
And that doesn't happen either.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I think it's one of my biggest concerns is right now is people on family care. People that receive family care, so they're getting services through Community Inc-Link or through Wisconsin Cares, but if they're not at a nursing home level of care, which is silly, that they're still at home, but if you're at a nursing level of care, you get more services from them. And one of those services is meals.
Yeah.
If you're not at that level, they don't reimburse for meals. So we could have somebody receiving family care who's getting Medicaid dollars to pay for a lot of things, and yet they're getting meals from us.
Yep.
And
I know.
That concerns me. And we've never gotten a good resolution out of the state as to how to handle that situation.
I mean, because I think, know of people in basketball that,
you know,
could buy the place and pay cash for it, and they go in there and give them 50 cents.
We can't.
For a meal and brag about it.
We
can't.
That's just
not right.
Yes. Donations have to be private. And we can't. Yeah.
I know.
So, it is a focus that we need to get on, and it's, but like I said, we've had some bigger fish to fry over the past 3 years.
Is it $3.50 for meals?
The suggested donation right now is $3.50.
Is that what it is? Oh, I didn't
close to a lot. It is. And we haven't raised that in some time. And if you look at our revenue for meals right now, so we're not quite up to budget on our congregate. We're at $97,000. But if you look at our home delivered, we're over. And probably some of that is because we do receive some family care meals, so we are getting the complete cost on that. Because if we can charge it to family care, we charge the $1,084, not the $3.50 to family care.
So home delivery is $1,080 is what they pay for.
It's what it costs us.
I know, but I mean, what does the
$3.50 is what we charge the participant. But we charge family care.
The
full amount. So if we could do that for those ones that are at the non-nursing home level of care, we'd be better.
Yeah.
And again, if that was vouchered at a restaurant, you had the voucher menu, and that voucher menu was a small chicken breast, one scoop of potatoes and peas.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to pay the $3.50.
Well, you can't.
You still can't.
It's still on a donation basis. So the voucher is a little different because it's still
suggested.
It's a suggested donation, right?
And again, there you order from that menu. I don't know, would that be something feasible in a kitchen, commercial kitchen?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You could, you know, whatever it would be. Maybe, you know, you could limit it to 3 items on the voucher menu.
Yeah. Yeah. And it might not even be 3 items. It might just be,
well, I'm just saying,
here is the seniors' meal of
the day.
And I think that's how a lot of them do it. It's just,
and you got to call before so you would know about how much.
Yeah. So some of them are kind of flirting with the idea of trying not to do the reservations thing because they think that impedes people too. But yeah. The vouchers thing I want to stay abreast of because I really do think that is even a better solution if we can get to that. So I would like to see that happen, but I mean, you know, we do a lot of home delivered.
You can still deliver from the restaurant.
Yeah.
And it might even be more conducive than an institution. Pull in, grab the parking lots closer.
Okay, anything further on the financial report?
No, I forgot we were still in financial report. I was thinking we were on to my director's report. No.
Okay, I need
these minutes are not going to reflect everything that was in here today. I'll tell you what. We had some discussion. That's all it's going to be.
I'll second it.
And Steve Sticky made it. Steve said it. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Opposed? I'm going to have to go right back to my office to try to capture any of this. So I'm...
Okay, on to reports.
All right, my report now. And I didn't even do one because, again, I am busy. I am busy beyond belief. I took vouchers home last night so I could at least get them categorized, because I have to have them due by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, and it will take me all afternoon, and I can't get Springbrook at home. If I could get Springbrook at home, it would be great. But the weather has not cooperated with me for staying late at this office either, because I'm a baby. It's not a web-based. I think it's just on our system, so I can't get into it from home. To my knowledge, I guess I really haven't asked that question, but I don't think I can.
Does your entire staff use Springbrook?
No. Springbrook is just the financial.
Is that just
piece.
You?
Well, normally it would be Crystal. It would be Courtney. But yeah, it's me right now. So. Yeah. And I don't
get somebody to hack into it. Everybody else is doing it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, in that being said, Steve, I kind of like to not work at home all the time. Because when I'm working at home, that doesn't get paid for by the county. That's just my time. So.
Well, I've got some things rolling around in my head that I
But there are advantages. Yeah, and, you know, I laugh because I told somebody the other day, I'm like, in my 20s, I couldn't have worked at home. But now when I work at home, man, I can get so much done.
Again, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. But that, so I am literally running behind. And Teresa and Nancy have been very good because they know I'm struggling to get it in there by 10 o'clock. I mean, I haven't been much more than about 20 minutes late. But it just, you know, you have to get it and you have to proof it and you have to make sure it goes to the right categories. So if it's wrong, you got to, and literally every, you know, when you see these vouchers, every one of these has to be inputted into Springbrook. And some of these, like if you look at our Fishneck Dairy, you know, we get about 22 invoices for that because it's based on the number of days. And all those invoices have to be put in. So there are some, that can be very time consuming for me. And it's not that it's not doable. It's just, for me, it's time consuming because I'm not very fast at it. So, but we're people got paid. That's the big thing. People got paid and our vendors are getting paid. That's the main thing. I have to keep up with that. So the rest of the stuff like nutrition reports gets shoved aside because I don't, you know, I have my priorities. The last priority today is getting Nancy the bank account so she can do the reconciliation of the bank accounts for me. So, and I got two bank accounts that I can't hack into, Steve. So on my online, they're not coming up. So. So, yes, it's been a little bit of a challenge for the last couple weeks, but we're getting through. And like I said, when Courtney gets on board, the good thing is we do have a lot of the procedures that Crystal did written out. I had her do a timeline even last year of all her duties by month, by different things. So we've got good procedures in place when Courtney starts of knowing what needs to be done. The good news is coming from Treasury, she kind of understands the processes and how it works, so she'll catch on to that. And then she can make some of her own. She may see a better way to do nutrition or things like that, and I'm real open to that. So I'll be very, very excited when she gets here. Good news, we got a grant. We got the 5310 grant to replace the taxi. So I'm very excited about that. Bad news for John is it probably won't come till maybe next fall, but... But the taxi has had some numerous issues, including just one day just stopping in the middle of his route.
Well, how much is that grant for?
The grant will pay 80% of a taxi. Okay. And the procurement for that is done through the state, so I don't have the cost. But, you know, our taxis have to have the lift. Mm-hmm. So I think they probably run, I'm going to guess somewhere in the mid-30s. I don't know, mid-30,000. I don't know. The state does the procurement for it. I've never done this, so I have to learn it. And then we will pay the 20%. But we have the 20% within our vehicle trust fund to pay it out. So the money's already there for it. So that's great news. I was very happy about that. We did submit the 8521 grant. That is our bus, for our buses, for our TRIPS program, which is our volunteer driver program, for our little bit of our taxi program, and for our specialized. that went in, that was due the end of December, and I did get just notification recently that it was approved, so, or it's complete, they call it complete, so we shouldn't have any problems with that. And we did see a little bit of an increase. I think it went from like 121,000 to 123. So not a great deal. But that'll be good because I want to charge more of Mariah's time to that. Mariah has done an excellent job of building out transportation. That was a challenge that we had a few years ago, as you know, she's just really gotten on board with that very well. So if you look at, I mean, we are almost on budget. If you looked at past years, what our trips revenue was and what it is this year, even with we're not doing as many rides, we're getting billing done as we should. So I'm very, very pleased with that. Specialized, again, you know, we're actually making money on specialized transportation. So that's all really good. I'm very, very happy with that. What else has been going on here? Besides me going crazy, we did have a caregiver workshop back in November. Did I tell you about that? Was that before the board meeting? I don't remember. We had caregivers come. We did it was a really, really nice day. They got into a habit a couple years ago. The point of the caregiver's respite day is to give caregivers that we work with just a day off a little bit from their caregiving duties and provide them with a little bit of fun, a little bit of education, and some things like that. So we did a how stress sort of impacts your own health and how you need to find humor in caregiving, which is sometimes hard to do. And we showed a presentation by Loretta LaRouche, who is kind of a humor therapist, and it was very well received. They loved it. They laughed and just had a really good time. And normally we've done this regionally, and regionally didn't want to do a regional caregiver training, but our caregivers really wanted one, and typically they used to be the one. They were in the majority of all of them that went to the regional one. So we did that, and they got into the habit of doing a craft. So I had to come up with the craft, which was more work than it was. But I spent a lot of weekend working on the craft so I could show how them to do it. But it went over great, and they sat around while they did this craft. The nice thing was it was more, the craft really wasn't the activity. They sat around and shared some of their struggles and some of their successes. And it was just super, it really was nice. It was really heartwarming, and you could just see that it was well received, and they were very thankful, and they, several of them talked to me about the impact that ADRC has had on them. So it was a really nice day. I was very impressed. Ruth, who, you know, works with all these people, has a great rapport with them, and I don't get to see them very often, so... it was really nice to hear how we had impacted them. So I was very pleased with that. We did get through the Part D season unscathed for the most part. Those numbers, I think, are in your program. I don't know if they're all in there yet. I think they still got more data to be inputted on that. But it went relatively well. We've been trying to refine that Part D process to make it less of a problem for staff and customers, because when I first came here, I thought it was a problem for both. And I heard very little staff complaining about it, and I didn't really get any customer complaints this year, so I'm very happy with that. It seemed to go pretty smoothly, and we got people in and out on a timely basis. What else? Mariah's having a driver training tomorrow, volunteer driver training. We provide them with some training and update their records to do that. What else do we have going on? Building, we've talked about. Budget was a big concern with ADRC, but we did get it spent out. These regional budgets are real tricky with ADRC because a county has a different way. Every county has a different way of handling. Some counties charge more of an admin AMSO, thing. Well, Grant County doesn't. So it's kind of hard to, you know, who's getting their fair share of the money of the entire regional grant. So that always has to be kind of worked out. And again, I tend not to spend, I tend to be probably more a conservative spender, just because I am. So we were working on that and getting that done. What else? I apologize. I'm just, you know, really all I've been doing is vouchers and payroll. We do have a project search coming up in Platteville on Thursday. That's the one we're sending Nicole to. And that's a youth in transition event for people, for youths with intellectual and developmentally disabilities. They've got a grant, and they're using it to do some project with them, come some community-supported employment projects with them. So they're doing one at UW-Platteville, and they will be working at the UW-Platteville campus. So they're having a little open house on that, and we will be a part of that Thursday night. So I think that's very nice. They're really doing some nice things in terms of supported employment for youth coming out, you know, with disabilities. I think that's a great great movement on that. I think that really needs to happen. We need to get more employers on board with that, because it makes a huge difference in those youth lives. You know, you don't just have to sit at home just because you have a disability. You can go out and contribute. Always,
with all these like that, I just got to tell you about a story. We went to Menards the other day to buy a gun safe. And we needed to rent a gun safe, right? And the guy who was selling us the gun safe, he said to him, "Do you know if we can rent one of, what do you call them, a dolly?" Now the guy works here. He didn't know. He had no idea. So, you know, even with your handicapped people, who most of them will take so much pride if they are given the opportunity. We have people taking jobs that are right in front of you.
We have
no disability, but it's over the top.
Our weekly cleaning crew that comes in is from SOC, and they are wonderful. I mean, they come in and do our cleaning, and they really want to do a good job, and they really appreciate the fact that we tell them thank you. They're delightful. I love every Monday when they show up, because I like to have a conversation. One is really into football, and I like to hear his take on the game. They're delightful. And they really, everybody needs a purpose in life.
Well, that's interesting.
I'll make the motion to accept the director.
Thank you. Sure. You went off on yours on position vacancy, but I can't talk about
it. Does that take care of the program reports, too?
Sure do. We can't hold you down.
I do have a lot of dead entry today. I really do. At least there's no freezing rain in the forecast tonight. Oh, I should mention, though, as part of my director's report, we did shut down the meal site Monday and Tuesday, and buses Monday and Tuesday. So
pretty much everything was shut down.
I didn't do it last week, and I got burned on it. I thought we'd be okay, and then the weather.
It makes a big difference.
Anything on the program reports?
You'll have them. I think you have them in your packet. I think, you know, we're right on track, and our numbers are probably going to be down a little bit with ADRC, just because we only had, you know, we were short information and assistance. But typically December is a lower month for that anyway. People got other things to do. So our new disability benefits specialist from Lafayette County, Lafayette County hired one, but we're having her right now one day a week to take on, because we have always had a higher caseload with disability benefits than anybody else. So she has the ability to work here one or two days a week to help alleviate the caseload with Angela, because Angela's attorney had pointed out last year that her caseload was becoming to the point where it was going to get unmanageable, so we needed to do something there. So that's good for us, because that just shows we're serving more people.
Okay, any further comments on meeting? Anything further to come before us? All right.
Next meeting?
I apologize. See, that's me doing that. What is it? It's February 1, 2, 15th? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Courtney will be here? But no, she won't. She'll be at Treasury that day. Sorry.
Yeah, February 15th.
Well, I like Louise a lot, so I felt if I'm going to steal from another department, I thought I could at least be nice and share.
Well, I imagine that's very much appreciated.
Oh, I think it's a good plan. Just to
you got to work with these people.
To have the knowledge.
Yeah.
World of difference.
And now when I come in late with the vouchers tomorrow.
What's that?
Louise has to give me a break because I'm still sharing.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Talking about that customer service, I was in Verizon.
Did we adjourn?
Yes, I was in
Verizon trying to get a hotspot for ADRC. Our hotspot had died, and I needed a different one. And I'm in there, and this woman comes in with a cell phone. And she says, you know, do you take old cell phones? And, you know, and he's like, well, we do, but you'd have to talk to Eric, and Eric's not here right now, you know. And so then she's talking to this new person over here, and he's trying to help me and really doesn't want to deal with her, and she's still standing here. Well, then this newer person turns around, and she goes, well, her mother died, and she wants to donate the phone. And he's like, oh. He just panics, and he's like, just go get Stacy. And I looked at him. I said, no. And he looks at me and I said, you say, and I looked at her. I said, you say, I'm sorry to hear that, ma'am. And you know what? I can get somebody to help you that we can show you where to donate. And then I looked at her and said, you know, there are different places that do take them. And if you call the ADRC, they can give you that information. I said, I know, you know, Family Advocates does for sure in Platteville, but I think there's a couple more. And she said, thank you. And then I turned back to him, and I'm like, that's how you do customer service. I am like, for God's sake.
How do you respond to it? I mean, after
he was like,
no, I mean, even after you talked to him and said this?
Yeah. Never went and got Stacy, but she got the information from me, so she was okay. He got my new hotspot, and I went about playing and didn't make a change in his world at all. And I thought, well, I might have improved customer service for her, at least getting her the information, but I didn't make a dent. Yeah, that just...
It just went over his head.
That just... Yeah. You don't go like that to somebody die. I thought, for God's sake, who were you raised by? You don't know enough to say, I'm sorry to hear that. Jeez.
Generation.
Jerry called at a party the other day, and they went through. He wanted to talk to somebody on how to do something. Could I get the part? He went from the first person they answered. They sent him to a second person, who sent him to a third person, who said, "Oh, this is Martin Luther King Day. We're all close."